Hi, I'm Marilyn Smith. This is Weekend Edition, All Sides Weekend Edition, and we're talking about restaurants today with our restaurant reviewers, Rich Terapak and Son Rich, the younger and the elder, as we like to say, the old one and the young one,
along with
Steve Stover, who writes for City Scene magazine. Thank you all so much for joining us again, especially on this holiday weekend. We have a number of things to talk about, but before we progress, I got an email this week from a listener who is asking about dim sum. Apparently, two restaurants, Shangri-La and Fortune on Olentangy, both have closed. They both offer dim sum, and they're no longer available. Anybody have any ideas?
I think the old favorite that's been around for probably 30 or more years, Sun Tung Lok, out on the east side, which Steve, I think, tells me is also one on Bethel.
Yes, Bethel near the theater.
There's one in Reynoldsburg. The original one is just off of Bryce.
Livingston.
It's on Livingston. Yeah, it's on Livingston. Livingston and Bryce. That's exactly right. It's
gonna, and say the name once again.
Sun Tung Lok.
Sun, S-U-N, capital T-O-N-G, L-U...
C.
C, or yeah. C-K, whatever.
Yeah. And I remember when Jim Boudreaux was actually doing restaurant reviews for us. Mm-hmm.
200 years ago?
Well, it was only 100 years ago. But we went there, and I think it was the first time you could even find dim sum in Columbus.
Yeah. And you can even have it at night. There are selected dim sum things. You don't. It just isn't in the traditional Chinese menu. It's a Saturday and Sunday lunch, brunch kind of thing. But you can also get it at night, I think.
Yeah, so, the traditional was Sunday brunch, which I think they still put out quite a spread at least on the east side one.
So to Patrick, who emailed the show earlier this week, I hope that that's some information that you can use. This is the beginning of outdoor dining. The outdoor dining season here in Columbus. And Steve, you've come up with some categories and restaurants that fit those particular needs that people have. It really is so charming, and people just flock to these restaurants. Right.
And
to eat outside.
Over the last 10 years, they have sprung up. Almost everybody has a patio or a restaurant or a sidewalk cafe, even in places where they really shouldn't be, you know, overlooking the parking lot kind of thing. But the last time I counted, there were more than 200 patios in Columbus, and there are some really wonderful ones and wonderful patios and terraces with food. So we sort of focus on the ones with food. And I don't know. Do you guys want to jump in and talk about some of your favorites?
Marilyn and I had lunch on the patio on Arlington Avenue yesterday at Park Creek.
Park Creek. I was there this week.
Yeah. And that's a patio that takes up the entire sidewalk, the front of the building. So pedestrians really
have to kind of crawl around this. Yeah.
You have to fight your way to Witt's frozen custard. And I did it, darn it.
But it's a beautiful setting. This is in Old Arlington.
On the mallway. Yeah. It's been there for years. It's the Witt's is actually an old bank building. Mm-hmm. And
And Park Creek also has – it's a very lovely place inside, so even on a bad day,
tiny.
You want to go. But it's it's not large. Like Bossy, the outdoor eating probably doubles the space.
Which is, in a sense, one great way for restaurateurs to attract a lot more people to their eateries, and it's relatively inexpensive. However, it does create staffing problems, as we've mentioned before.
It also – caused me eating problems. I had the BLT this week, and it purports to have a half a pound of bacon on it. And it was like a little French roll with a single tomato slice, a nice fresh tomato slice.
You know, there's a cure for that, Steve.
What? What would that be, Marilyn? You mean not eat it all? I did give some to Mary, my wife, and she had a small salad to go with it. What did you have?
Oh, I had the carnitas taco, soft taco, and it was really well done, very well seasoned. Had lots of avocado on it to kind of loosen it up. They had served with a salsa on the side and some chips. And Marilyn had the world's biggest burger, I think.
It was a very big burger, and they have sort of regional burgers the way they're set up here. We have the classic, the Northwest, the Southwest, and the House. I got the Northwest, which had grilled mushrooms, caramelized onion and lettuce. It was very good. It was a beefy, big burger, and they grind their own beef right there. And I'm often hesitant to order a hamburger anymore because they just don't have the flavor that they used to. But this was really good.
And I unfortunately missed the review yesterday.
Your invitation was lost in the mail.
No, I was invited. I had something else going on. But I did get a chance to look over the menu, and it's quite original. One thing that jumped out at me, you know, you see mussels on so many menus in a typical, you know, white wine, shallots, garlic sauce. This place has got mussels with smoked bacon, corn broth, scallions, candied garlic, and grilled bread, which I guess they make in-house as well. They also do a spiced popcorn, which has aged Asiago, rosemary, truffle oil, which I read in another review that was that was a great starter. So I can't wait to get over to try this place. It is quite a unique menu.
They have beer, I think, but
no
wine.
Or,
they've got license pending.
Yes.
I said, can you bring a bottle of wine? And they said no. I also ask about – it looks like most everything is made from scratch except maybe the bread. The chef was busy, so I didn't get the final answer. But
Jeff,
it appeared that everything – Your new best friend?
My new best friend. He wasn't there, but I got his name. Okay. Ask for Kyle, the manager.
There you go. But that's a nice patio, too. And that's just, you know, I'm not partial to street dining, but on the Mallway and Old Arlington with the trees and the stone, it's pretty nice.
Except when the firemen take off for lunch. Kind of a little frightening because there's a fire station across the street. But there was a little bit of people watching, but there's better people watching probably in the short north.
Yeah, a couple of my favorite places as far as patios go, La Fagata down on the short north on High Street.
That place is always packed, and not to be unkind, but their food is not the best.
I go there for margaritas sometimes, and on Tuesday they do a dollar taco night, which sometimes those can take an hour to get out to you, as I found out the last time I was in there. But
it's spent $25 on margaritas.
Yeah, exactly. That's their plan. But it's a great people watching patio. Haiku next door. I like Tip Top downtown. It's got a nice a small patio, but again, another good people watching patio.
Now that's right
out
on Gay Street.
On Gay Street, right by Third.
How about best food
or fourth,
and best deal for a patio? It's not the best patio, but the refectory has their bistro menu on their patio.
This is their reduced cost menu.
Three courses, $24. And the patio is very pleasant. And, of course, Barcelona's got a nice patio.
That's the best patio in the city, I think. Barcelona's got a lovely patio. If you're looking for a real, you know, refined, nice, romantic experience, Barcelona's patio. Or Lindy's has got a great patio as well. It can get a little rowdy out there.
But that's where the action is.
It's a scene for German Village. Yeah.
And then maybe my favorite patio is Barcelona. It's fenced in, little lamps, lovely, lovely patio with, and again, good food, small plates. Now, what about best views?
I had the scallops at Barcelona a couple of weeks ago, and they were terrific.
I love them. I
haven't been there for a while.
I am rarely. Yeah. It's one of my top three in the city. I love Barcelona.
I wish they had more of the tapas. At first, when they opened, they had a lot of small plates. They've really gotten away from that, except for the big poo-poo platter that's got about 30 things on it and is enough to
No, you're right. You're right. It
Columbus.
Is mostly entree-sized meals now, but it's great food. They just never disappoint me.
What a great patio, though.
Tonight. Yeah, beautiful.
I don't know if you could watch Red, White, and Boom from there. Probably not. Too many trees.
Yeah.
292-8513, and we're talking about food with our food critics, Rich Terapak and Son Rich, along with Steve Stover of City Scene Magazine. Speaking of tonight, should people pack a picnic? What about food for Red?
They probably already are packing a picnic.
If you haven't yet. Yeah.
Yes, the tents are going up already, having just left downtown. It's if you want to get out of the parking lot, get out now. Pack a picnic, and there are lots of places to do that. One of them that's close by, just give a little plug for our friends at Kroger's, is the Brewery District Kroger's, which has lots of takeouts. And you're not, there are some items that might be considered gourmet, but you're not doing that at the picnic, so just go down and get some
fried
chicken and stuff.
We were cooking out last night, and I went to Thurn's, the little sausage, 125 years in business, sausage and smoked things down on Greenlawn Avenue just west of 71. I got some smoked trout. They also have fabulous smoked salmon. I got smoked brats, some ribs that have already been real nice chewy ribs. You know, they're not the soft, squishy ribs like you would have at the – what's the place up on 161?
The Damon's type of place?
Oh, the Cincinnati-based Montgomery.
Yeah.
Montgomery.
These are really smoked ribs, and then you can put them in the oven and just warm them through.
Really?
Lunch meats, homemade lunch meats. fabulous 5-year-old cheddar. I bought some ham salad for my lunch, and it's just it's a real treasure. And you could go and get whatever you want. I bought these smoked brats because all you have to do is heat them through, and you don't have to cook them at all. You can throw them on the grill.
I've passed that place many, many times. I always thought that it was a wholesale meat place. I had no idea.
They're only open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning, so that may explain some of it. But it's absolutely worth a journey in terms of just their breakfast sausage is so lean that I actually have to add olive oil to cook it because it sticks. It's just the most wonderful ground
pork. So is there a meat case there?
Or is there actually a store? Everything, all the brats and garlic links and knockers and homemade hot dogs. And
if you remember the old North Market or even Central Market, meat stands, that's what it looks like. It's just a long, probably 15-foot long cooler glass case with the stuff displayed. It's it's terrific. And you're right. It is. We want to keep it going because they spend a lot of attention to the
detail. Now, another great place to forage for your picnic, either tonight or whenever, is the North Market. They're going to be open tomorrow morning, I guess, with the regular people. And Rhodes Farm Market from Circleville has
– not the small people that the BP guy talks about. These are regular people. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, little elephant creatures. But they had sweet corn and fresh local peaches, early peaches last week. And
ooh.
I have been eating one peach a day because they are just spectacular.
So this is their outdoor market.
The farmers markets. There are, you know, there's Clintonville and Worthington and Arlington. But the biggest selection is at the North Market. And locally grown mushrooms. And so we're really getting into the season now where everything is there. They had snap peas. They have green beans. They had zucchini and other kind of stuff is already
I bet there might even be tomatoes. I pulled my first three this week from my early bird plant.
Well, it's early, but it got so hot so early.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got so much rain that
well, if you're coming in from the suburbs to watch the fireworks, there are a couple places. I think Weiland's does a great job of carry out food. I think they do a really fine job. Mm-hmm. That's up on Indianola, north of the Olympic Swim Club.
Just
north of East North Broadway, a couple blocks. Hills Market, for those coming who want a brave going down 315.
Well, getting on 315 is a problem for
yes.
some of
Don't.
Us.
Don't.
Yeah. I did today. It was amazing. What else, guys? Katzinger's is down, right down there.
Yeah. Oh, well, one thing that we tend to forget, the Andersons has what's called the Uncommon Market in both their East and North stores, and at least the one on Sawmill is expanding, and it's going to be a huge addition to the market, and they're going head-to-head with Whole Foods.
Yeah.
They're going to have tasting stations.
Upscale stuff.
And,
you mean like a little cafe kind of thing?
Well, I don't know about a full cafe, but at least places where you can stop and get samples, more so than they do now. And expanding their organic offerings quite a bit. Also within the Andersons is the House of Meats, which is a separate franchise. But they've really got some terrific
stuff. And the best wine selection, the largest wine selection.
And I think that'll grow, too.
In town.
292-8513, we're talking about restaurants. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back.
On your drive home, get local updates with the award-winning WOSU news team.
Within a year, Poindexter Tower should be torn down, finally. It has been empty for about 7 years. Franklin County officials have secured the titles of 71 condos out of 101 in the building.
We have had to go to court on each unit that wants to fight about it, so it's unit by unit by unit.
Hear the latest in local and national news with All Things Considered on WOSU 89.7 FM.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News. 70 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:20. Sunshine today and a high right around 80 degrees. Clear skies tonight, a good night for Red, White, and Boom, and a low of 55. Sunny for Saturday and a high of 85 degrees. And looking ahead to Independence Day, sunshine and warmer with a high of 90. All Sides Weekend continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking with food critics Rich Terapak and his son, Rich, along with Steve Stover, who writes for City Scene magazine. We've been talking about outdoor markets and outdoor eateries, patios, typically, mm-hmm. that they're more commonly called. What else? What are some of your categories here, Steve?
Best views. Two of the three have changed hands. In the old La Tavola location on Riverside Drive, south of 161, is now Cabo Cucina. And some of the people from, I think, related to Oscars. But the food's good. I haven't eaten there, but I've gotten good reports. But it is a spectacular deck
and
dining room overlooking the Scioto River Valley. It's really spectacular views. Of course, Bel Lago, formerly known as the Hoover Grill, has great views of the Hoover Reservoir.
And I've heard the food there is very good.
It's improved.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Emmett Miranova actually has a little patio with soft furniture and views of the city all lighted up and everything. So those are three.
The beautiful Scioto River.
Views, yeah. And then Romantic, we talked about Barcelona.
Probably watch the fireworks there.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can get in.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
For most Romantic, we have Barcelona. We talked about 7 stars at the Worthington Inn, a little tiny patio with twinkly lights. And actually, the Columbus Museum of Art, is the Palette open now because of the construction?
I'm not sure.
But they used to have
the sculpture
you could eat
garden.
Out of the sculpture garden. I saw Roberta there one time. I was eating there. And it's maybe one of the most pleasant settings in Columbus.
292-8513. We have an email from Evan, who says he wants to mention Senior Antonio's. Anyone? Senior. I've been up a long time.
Powell Road and 23. I have not been there.
Powell Road is 23.
No, it's
750. Oh, Powell Road and 23.
Yeah. Okay. 750 and 23.
Well, there's so much
there used to be Nacho Mamas up there.
There, you know, all these little restaurants, and we read reviews in the Dispatch quite often about these restaurants right there. They're always on Liberty, right in the in 750, as though, you know, it was Morse and Carl 25 years ago or something. But there is such a huge boom up there of, the population and then, these little businesses and restaurants growing through there, too.
Even ice cream stores and things like that.
So does anyone know?
I'm not in that area all the time. I think I will report back next time. Thank you for your comment, Evan.
And we, from Donna on Facebook, she says, we love the elevator, great atmosphere, good food, nice location, and easy parking.
Yeah, Elevator's a terrific place.
Greatest.
Good beer.
Yeah,
great looking bar. It's a real long bar.
Early 1900s.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the old clock restaurant. It's been around.
It's
the
kind of place you'd see
in the middle of the block.
Yeah. Kind of place you'd see in Chicago or New York. You know, not a lot of it in Columbus, but they're in old downtown. Elevator's a great spot.
Near Barrios, which is just on the corner.
Mm-hmm. Another good spot.
Yeah.
Now, is Elevator, are they creating their own beers? Are they a microbrewery?
Yeah, they're a brewery. Mm-hmm.
And is this the microbrewery that moved here from
Mansfield or someplace like that?
Yeah, moved down?
Yeah. Okay.
They've actually been there a long time, probably 10 years,
10 years
in that
now.
Spot.
Yeah.
But it's just a gorgeous old bar. And
this is High Street, right downtown, probably
south
near,
of Spring.
South of Spring.
Yeah, not too far down.
Long and Spring.
Yeah.
292-8513. We're talking about restaurants. If you have any suggestions or recommendations, feel free to call. Rich, you were talking about Little Palace opening downtown.
Yeah, it just opened. It's under the ownership of the Rossi Club 185 group. It's apparently a real chic new spot. Looks kind of
It's been around for a long time. It's more or less a Greek restaurant. It closed for a while. The Rossi people came in and rehabbed the place in the exact style that it was done originally, but all new stuff. The long bar, fairly big, probably seats 100 people inside. The food, they've kept the one signature item from the old Little Palace, again, which was Greek-owned, which is their gyro. And you can get a gyro for $3.50.
Competing with 30 francs.
Then they've got sliders and whatnot, the tiny little burgers. It's just a real affordable place, probably a lot more, probably 50% bar, 50% restaurant kind of spot, much like a Club 185 or Press Grill type place.
Yeah, it's on North 4th.
Right next to Dirty Frank's Hot Dogs. Everyone seems to know
South
of that Fort. Place.
South
and
Fort.
Who owns it?
It's the group that – I don't know the ownership. I think it's several partners that own the Rossi and Club 185. Yeah. They used to own Press Grill, sold that. But so it's in that that genre of restaurant bars.
Yeah, speaking of the Press Grill, I wouldn't necessarily say it's fine dining, but they do some pretty creative stuff there, and they've tried, I think, to maintain many of the items that were previously on the menu. And that
are they still doing the $10 steak on Sundays?
They are.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
It is crowded every night.
And they do the $1.50 Nathan's Chili Dogs one night.
I wonder why they sold it.
I'm not sure, but I've met the new ownership. Benoit Matthews is a great guy. They have kept it a lot the same, which is good because, you know, it's a regular spot for a lot of that neighborhood there. But, no, love Press Grill.
Well, and every once in a while we'll go up there and just on a Sunday night or something, and people will walk across the street and come and get a carry-out dish. And, you know, it really is a very – you have a sense of neighborhood there.
And they still have the double cheeseburger, the infamous – came over from the old restaurant.
Oh, from 185.
Yeah, it started at 185, but that's always a favorite.
Now, I thought I remembered reading that the original couple that owned it was opening a restaurant in Granville.
That's Del Mar. There is a restaurant that's been open, gosh, 3, 4, 5 years. It was the Rossi Club 185 people, and it's just off the main drag. And you walk in, and there's a little greeting area with a fireplace, and then there's a bar area, and then a small dining room. And they do some of the same items, a lot of comfort food, meatloaf, stuff like that. And it's a nice addition to the Granville dining scene, which is pretty darn good right now with the new chef at the well, first of all, Short Story, which maybe we'll talk about in a little bit, on traveling around, a cute little restaurant on the outskirts of town. The new chef at the Granville Inn, I haven't had as good a luck with the Buxton Inn across the street. And then Nona, which Rich was talking about, a little Italian place that used to be only open on the weekends. And this Del Mar, and then there's one other one downtown, which gives them – oh, and there's – I think the original Witz frozen custard was in downtown Granville. So it's quite the culinary capital, sort of like Bexley.
Witz frozen custard, if you haven't tried it, is delicious. There's one out on right off of Route 62 across the street from City Barbecue in Gehenna, and I think a new one just opened
in Arlington.
In Upper Arlington.
Well, it's right next to the restaurant.
Yeah, it's frozen custard. You know, they combine it with all kinds of different flavors.
Rich didn't take you there for an ice cream after lunch?
Well, I think that you were in a hurry to get back to the office, plus we're full.
Yeah, it was a lot of food. Yeah,
it's almost a meal in itself, and they do have
bacon. Yeah. You had ice cream after that.
You had bacon ice cream?
No, I had the half pound of bacon on my BLT, and then Mary and I split the tiniest little thing.
Edible Columbus, is that new?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, since this is radio, people cannot see your visual aid.
He holds up a copy of Edible Columbus. New magazine. Started just recently. The first issue was April 1st.
Now, who's putting this up?
It is Tricia Wheeler, who's the publisher, and she's put together this magazine. There are maybe 40 other Edible Columbus City magazines.
Oh, so this is
from
kind of
Austin
a franchise
to Manhattan.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And they really focus on local, sustainable, edible, wonderful food. And I was lucky enough to do an article in the initial issue, and we had Betty Rossbottom do an interview for the first edition. I did a little story about the Winds Cafe and Yellow Springs on sort of like a travel thing, and they have interviews with chefs, and a lot about local growers and raspberries and all kinds of things. It's a gorgeous magazine. It's free at like the North Market.
Or at other.
You can get a subscription. But it's free at like the North Market, at the Greener Grocer, at other places. Mm-hmm. And Tricia's making a lot of public appearances. She was with us out at the Granville Food and Wine Festival a couple weeks ago. They did a little feature on the magazine on Channel 10 yesterday. So it's really a nice new addition to Columbus. And I think just check out ediblecolumbus.com. It's really cool.
It's put us on the food map that much more.
Yeah.
Does this come out monthly? Quarterly,
this is the summer
April, July, or June. Yeah, I think.
And
it's
are they
quarterly.
Sustaining this with local advertising?
Lots of advertising.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll
if it's free, there's always going to be lots of advertising.
They've got something like community gardens, which are really taking off these days, and we're beginning to get some harvest.
Franklin
some
Park.
Of that. Franklin Park has a beautiful garden itself, and also they manage a program that has something like 130 community gardens, mostly in the
really?
Inner city. Yeah, it's really.
I just found out Bexley's got a community garden. Even I had no idea around Mayfield.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you have a community garden because your dad comes and takes your produce.
Yeah, exactly.
292-8513. We're talking about patios and gardens and food today, and we do have a caller. Tony is joining us. Hi, Tony.
Hi, I just wanted to bring up the fact that Refectory is a great place to go, and they always have fantastic food, and the bistro menu that they produce for during the weeknights is just great. It's a wonderful place. Service is great.
It is a good place, and Cam does a great job, and it was one of the original fixed-price menus in town, which is now being replicated in several places, which is a great idea. Even if we don't have a separate second dip of the recession, it's a good idea to know how much you're going to spend when you go in the door.
Oh, just on weeknights in general, regardless of if the economy is lousy. Restaurants, very few of them pack people in on the weeknights, and this is a great way. They get the exposure to present their food and their quality to folks, and maybe they'll come back, on a weekend.
Monday through Thursday, in the lounge or the patio, three courses and a choice of each for $24, and interestingly, they're doing catering, and
we've used them a lot at the office.
Yeah, and we're going to use them too.
Now, so, how are the wine prices at Refectory? Are they reasonable, or I know they
moderate? I guess
I know they've got an excellent
moderate.
Selection.
They're not.
But, yeah, they aren't cheap though.
Our pet peeve are the wine markups, where we know how much the wine costs at retail, and it's triple. Triple that is
because we all know exactly
gouging.
How much it costs at retail.
Yes,
right. But they do have the service that goes with that, and the selection that they have in their wine cellar is really pretty amazing.
Yeah,
I agree. Their selection's terrific.
Relative to other restaurants, that would have the same type of food and the same service and environment, it's about the same anywhere you go in town. It's really
I think that's a good point. Their wine markups are moderate, but they're even more moderate considering that they're providing white tablecloths and crystal wine glasses and things like that. So you got to give them credit for keeping their prices moderate under those circumstances.
It's true. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Sure. Anyway.
Thank you, Tony.
I remember
Thank
when
you.
Steve and I and John Christensen were presenting at the Metropolitan Club on new restaurants in town. And John, we were all talking about wine prices, and at the end of the program at the Metropolitan Club, people can come up and make a statement or ask a question, and Chef Hankey kind of took off after us. He said, "You pay for the broken Riedel glasses."
So that's a very fair statement. Good
well,
point,
it is,
Rich.
Except that you almost wonder why restaurants even have Riedel glasses.
Exactly.
And this is a type of glass, or I don't even know if it's crystal, but they're fairly fragile.
Mm-hmm. And $12 a piece or something like that.
The restaurant quality ones are about – they can probably get them for about $10 a piece. So really compared to some of the – I don't like the really heavy white wine glasses, but wine service – is a really interesting part of the whole dining experience.
And you have to maintain, as the Refectory does, a great inventory to be a good restaurant, and that costs money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and of course, John probably almost did a whole show one day about the markup on wine. It seems to
Was he ranting?
Well, as much as he does. But when you think about it, though, and one of the examples he gave was $2 chuck, which in Columbus at Trader Joe's is $4.50 or something like that. And it hardly seems to be fair. And I don't know what the origination of this particular law is and how it came to be that distributors can charge so much more.
I think it was essentially after Prohibition, the distributors got in there and lobbied hard and have been able to maintain that lobby of keeping a minimum markup and this, kind of on the basis of to get people to drink less. So,
is that really their goal?
Although
it's more like an oligopoly and extortion on the people. But that's just my opinion.
Well, you can weigh in on patios or outdoor markets or politics today We're talking about restaurants and food. 292-8513. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking with Rich Terapak and his son Rich, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU, along with Steve Stover, who writes for City Scene magazine. And thank you all for taking time out of your busy schedules on this holiday weekend to join us. Steve, you were talking about Edible Columbus, a new magazine that's being published quarterly here in Columbus. And I wonder if there's a companion website that goes with
it. I believe we would check ediblecolumbus.com. I checked this morning, and there it was. So.
And are there coupons or values or tips or, you know, kind of local things?
It's more can direct you to the where you can find the magazine and things like that, probably some of the articles and stuff. So it's a nice new edition, gorgeous pictures. You can get it at the North Market and other advertisers.
Well, I imagine some of these specialty stores like Hill's and Weiland's that we're talking about. This would fit.
I believe I saw it at Weiland's,
It's a great looking magazine. I know no one out there can see it.
Well, if Steve shows them really hard.
I'm holding it up as a spokesmodel.
8513. Rich, you mentioned before we went on the air that Spinelli's, which is a very popular deli.
Right.
On Neal Avenue, next to Giant Eagle, is opening a second location.
Right. The old, if a lot of people might recognize the Otero's sign, former sign down at Gay and High Streets downtown. Spinelli's is going to be opening up a second location down there. I think it's a great strategic pick for them. I think they'll do really well down there. Spinelli's is immensely popular with the Victorian Village crowd. Yeah, a few other pieces of news, current events, I should say. Bexley's Monk, we'd like to bid farewell to after a good 24-year run. It is too bad. They tried to make an ownership change about 6-7 months ago. I think I mentioned it on the air. Mm-hmm. Never really took off. I thought the guys did a great job, Remo and Ben, but... Yeah, it's gone. Anyone out there, I think...
It's open for bidding,
apparently there had been some dispute with Capital University wanted to buy the Bexley Square Shopping Center that it's in. Apparently the Bexley Council denied their zoning request to change the property.
We needed the taxes.
Yeah, exactly. So now it looks like it will be staying a Casto building, and that space is still available. So anybody who wants to – the bar side has always done terrific.
Come on, Jim Boudreaux. Get in there. Open that restaurant.
I think they always – they always struggled on the rest – not always, but the last 5 years or so. They struggled on the restaurant side. You know, it's white tablecloth dining. But the bar is a great-looking place. They've got the brick-fired oven there.
It was the first, I think, in town.
Spaggio.
Yeah,
us Bexley residents, we really hope somebody steps in there and opens something up, at least on the bar side. I think you could do a great, bar and appetizer business just out of that oven there.
I think you're talking yourself into it.
If I had the money, I'd do it.
Well, I used to work on the east side, and that was the one reliable place you could take clients or go for business-related... You're welcome, Steve. Business-related meal, and it was always good. The menu remained consistent. You could go, and if you liked pasta Diablo or whatever, you could get it, consistently.
Jack Corey.
Yeah, it was very good. And then the last time, Rich, you and I reviewed it was not that long ago. Maybe
about a year and a half, and it was great.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
We
really
had a good
meal. And I don't understand. Well,
that's a shame,
location.
And I'm going to miss Sonia there on Monday nights. Well, but she's still over at the top on
it's
Saturdays.
It's got parking. It's got a built-in constituency, and hopefully somebody will give it a shot. I think maybe more advertising and some couponing in the area. I mean, Giuseppe's right down the street.
Does great.
Does a great job.
They're
so
busy all the time.
What is it about that location or that the way it was run? I mean, every time I was there, it was a good dinner.
Well, and Giuseppe's is very visible. You drive by it.
You're right.
Oh, yeah, that would
and
be
this is at the
here.
Back of Bexley Square Shopping Center.
Yep.
But
parking.
Yeah.
292-8513. We're talking about restaurants here on All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
W.S. Merwin has been named the next U.S. Poet Laureate. On the next Fresh Air, we feature an interview with Merwin and an interview with Stephen King. King's memoir about the craft of writing is being released in a 10th anniversary edition. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Hungry for more than headlines and short sound bites about our community? Watch Columbus on the Record for in-depth, thoughtful, and balanced analysis of the issues and stories affecting Columbus and Central Ohio. Friday nights at 8:30 on WOSU-TV. And tonight on Columbus on the Record, Mike Thompson and his panel will take a look at the current and future state of the Ohio economy. That discussion on Columbus on the Record tonight at 8:30 on WOSU-TV. Currently 71 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:41 this morning. Sunshine today and a high of 80 degrees. Clear skies tonight for Red, White, and Boom, a low overnight of 55 degrees. Sunny for Saturday and a high of 85. And for Independence Day, sunshine and a high of 90 degrees. All Sides Weekend continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about restaurants today on All Sides Weekend, and we have our usual panel. Our usual suspects are here, Rich Terapak and his son Rich, along with Steve Stover of City Scene Magazine. And it's a rare privilege, sir, we don't get to see you here.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, you're very welcome. And, Rich, you were talking about a new thing here in Columbus called Food Hop, which is kind of like a pub crawl, I guess.
Probably the best analogy for it. It's being started up. I think they're going to have their soft launch later this month. It's started up by a couple restaurant industry veterans here in town. And I think their first one's going to do sushi. I think they're going to do Moshi Sushi in Bexley and then Toro and Typhoon. And it's basically, yeah, like a pub crawl.
But an organized one.
An organized one. You pay them. They organize with the restaurants they're going to visit for a menu to be, you know, ready when you get there. And, it's a great social thing to do. You meet other people on the bus. And
there is a bus.
Yeah, there's a bus. Exactly. Okay. So you don't have to drive either, at least, I guess, till you get back to your car, if you – can. And
well, there's an optimistic side.
Oh, no, I think it's a great idea to have, you know, to courier them between the restaurants.
Yes.
I mean, you know, a lot of people have tried this with just, you know, people driving around.
No,
but
then they don't get there at the same
exactly.
time.
Exactly. And you can't coordinate it correctly. Yeah. The food gets cold. But, you can find them on Facebook already. Just look up Food Hop Columbus, I suppose. And then I think their website is going to launch next week. But, I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's become very popular out on the West Coast. They've got this – I've seen it on Food Network. They've got it in Portland. They've got it in Seattle. San Francisco has this. It's a neat concept.
So we got to have it.
Yeah, it's great, you know, great to see something moving to Columbus before it hits Chicago.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this the kind of thing where a group of friends would – strangers?
I'm sure you could set it up. You know, this is they're getting started. I'm sure you could set it up for private parties, things, you know, like, you know, bachelor or bachelorette parties, if you wanted to do that. But it's also going to be a way for, you know, people who love food and love particular cuisines of food to come together and, you know, discuss them. And I know some of the other ones they're going to do, they'll have tapas. I think they're also going to do one with a few of the breweries in town, like Columbus Brewing Company, Elevator. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, different cuisines. And, so you kind of pick one that you want and meet people with similar interests. And I think it's a great idea. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it does sound like you could organize a heck of a party and choose your favorite cuisine.
Exactly.
And Rich is agreeing to take us all on one of these hops at his expense.
That's right.
Wow. 292-8513.
That's Junior.
Nancy is joining us. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. What a wonderful opportunity to share my question with all of you. My daughter grew up in Columbus, now lives in the D.C. area, will be coming here in 2 weeks to celebrate her wedding anniversary with her husband, and asked me about new upscale chic restaurants in Columbus. And I'd love to know what all of you would suggest, knowing that she's used to having the cuisine of the D.C. area.
Well, I can say, and I think my dad and I just kind of mouthed this to each other, we both just love this place, Sage, in kind of the Quintonville area near Doddridge on High Street. It's S-A-G-E. It's a great spot, very chic, very small. If you're from the, you know, D.C. or any of those East Coast
brick
kind
walls.
Of areas, brick walls, okay. You know, long and thin. They got, you know, one of the most knowledgeable sommeliers in town, Chris Stillman.
Mm-hmm.
Great food. Tell her the pork belly appetizer is one of the favorites.
My favorite.
Yep. Any others, guys?
Well, one that we do talk about from time to time is L'Antibes.
Right.
Which is, of course.
Easily the most romantic restaurant in town.
It is just lovely.
And a traditional romance favorite, along with the Refectory. Some people like the hustle and bustle of Rigsby's for feeling grown up on an anniversary.
But if they'd like a quiet spot, L'Antibes is hands down the best for that. It's only about 8 tables in the whole restaurant.
Yes, right.
And one chef, preparing everything.
And quality cuisine.
Yeah. And that's at High Street and Warren in the Short North.
Mm-hmm. A couple blocks north of Rigsby's. So it is new and chic because it's got a new owner in the last 2 or 3 years. So.
Right. And Sage is about 2 years old, at this point.
And they weathered the disastrous High Street construction. Just amazing.
And the economy when they opened. So happy. Sage is a great place. That's one of my top picks now.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, especially because the others I had sent to her with links to the restaurant, but I forgot about Sage. So thank you so much. And you all do a grand job.
Thank you. Thank you for your call, Nancy. We have Todd joining us. Go ahead, Todd.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to chime in about the comment on the extortionistic practices of the distributors.
Well, I don't take any responsibility for the remarks of the guests.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough.
Some of them are friends of ours, so Rich is going to get
it. I think it is a big misconception in Ohio, though. Everybody thinks that Ohio pricing is higher than anywhere else in the country, and to some extent it is. But any business out there is a beast that must be fed, and it's fed margins. Every business has to make money to stay in business. So if you go to Kentucky, sure, you can buy a bottle of Kendall Jackson Chardonnay for a penny over cost, but you're also going to pay more for something else that's not as widely known. I know there's a little great bottle in town here called Laurel Glen Reds that sells for about $10 a bottle. But if you go into those big box stores across the river in Kentucky, it's $16, $18 a bottle.
And you have to go to Kentucky.
Yeah. And Tennessee has a 24% tax on wine.
Wow.
The prices are just
outrageous. They want to sell bourbon.
Outrageous. But we also do appreciate those restaurants that try to keep the wine prices low. And I think they probably sell more wine, not necessarily at state minimum retail, but at 1.5 or 2 times retail.
Sure.
But the 3 times retail may be a little bit bordering on gouging.
Yeah,
and we know who does it, but
it
also covers some of their costs. They keep their food prices low by keeping their alcohol prices higher. So
and remember, there's been,
who are we to criticize?
There have been some recent changes in state law that you can buy a full bottle and not drink it all. You can take it home. It has to be resealed by the restaurant, but you can take it home. So
we did that once.
once in two years.
They have to recork it or put some kind of
– they wrap it in plastic wrap. And
they put the cork on it and then plastic wrap around top.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling us on that.
Driving down the road. Yeah. And another thing it does with the minimum markups is it allows us to have, like in Grandview, 5 wine shops all within the same 2-block radius of each other. Because it levels out the playing field and allows more businesses to take part in the wine business.
Yeah, that's true.
Thanks very much for your call. And, of course, the people in Grandview are great supporters of the shops there, the restaurants, and the wine shops and
coffee
shops.
It's a great area.
Nobody mentioned Elena's for having great wine prices.
Oh, they do. Absolutely.
They do. They used to be state minimum retail, but I think there's a corkage now.
Yeah,
it's also a great
patio.
You can watch the university crowd go by.
Yep, absolutely.
No, we love Elena's. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Todd. 292-8513, and we have Rick joining us. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
You asked about 2-buck Chuck, and I happen to know about it intimately since it's one of my favorite wines. And the reason it's Charles Shaw out of Trader Joe's, and the reason it's known as 2-buck Chuck, relating to the previous conversation, is that outside of Ohio, it costs $1.99 a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the tour at Callaway Winery in Temecula, and I happened to ask the person conducting the tour, I said, what happens when you make more wine than you're actually going to bottle? And he sheepishly lowered his eyes, and he said, have you ever heard of 2-buck Chuck? And as we talked, he said, all the vintners out there, if they had more wine, they gave it to Charles Shaw, which then mixed together, and they were all chagrined because 1 year Charles Shaw took the Best of Wine Award in California, with their concoction.
Well, the New Yorker did an extensive article about this not too long ago. Yeah. It's fascinating reading, and there's a real love-hate relationship yes. with Charles Schau. But it also apparently makes it very difficult to get the same bottle of Two Buck Chuck twice in a row because of this mixing that goes on. It's not always the same.
It's a label. It's a label. That's
yeah, but I've never had a bottle I've been disappointed in.
Hmm. Well, that's good to know. Thanks so much for your insight on that. And 2928513, we're talking about restaurants. And we'll be back again, of course, next month to do the same. Until then, David is joining us. Hi.
Hi. I was calling in to recommend a place here on the west side.
Great. Oh, please.
It's a new place. It's kind of small. It took over the Wendy's at Wilson and West Broad. It's called the Food Corner. I actually heard about it on your last program.
I think John Christensen was talking about this. Yeah, I've yet to get out there, but he raved about it. Yep.
I was blown away, and what really I think is the strongest endorsement is I took my 7-year-old son, who never tried Indian food. We got him a fried bologna sandwich, which was, by the way, very good as well. But
that was Indian bologna?
A little curry on it. Yeah.
He tried everything on the bar, and the owners were gracious. They said, get him a plate, let him have at it. And he fell in love with the place, nagged me every day until I took him back.
Wow, if you can please a 7-year-old, that's impressive.
Is it an Indian restaurant, or what is the cuisine like?
It's kind of like a fusion. I would definitely say that it's pretty much an Indian restaurant, but they have Italian, they have Mexican, they have some American. So that, you know, I felt comfortable taking my son there and finding something he would enjoy, but wow, it just blew me away that he was as impressed as he was, and I was too.
John described it as kind of a food emporium almost because they've got so many different cuisines. Yeah.
Well, that's great, especially out on the west side. You know, we don't get over there enough, and so that's really great to have a recommendation out there. That's at Broad and Wilson.
Fried bologna on naan.
Hey, that sounds good.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much for your call, David. And we had talked also, I think, about a place on Roberts Road. These places on the west side seem to be springing up. I wonder if the proposed gambling casino, if that's going to generate a lot more
Hope so.
There are a lot of great Mexican restaurants and the taco trucks on the west side off of West Broad, just west of the freeway. And I don't know, which one were you talking about on Roberts Road?
You know, it escapes me now because
Chef's Kitchen out there and a couple others.
This was a relatively new place, I think, that's either a caller had recommended or one of our panelists had talked about. But it's striking because typically you don't think of the West Side as a place to go for fine dining.
Yeah. But with the casino, we might see some more. That's great.
Of course, the casino is going to house its own restaurant, I would think, or several restaurants within.
Typically, not of the same quality.
Right. I mean, you know, I've been to several casinos in my day, come on, Dad, you know that. Remember that call? No, just kidding.
The show is all over the place.
Yeah. But I must say, I've never eaten at a single one of them. So,
but except that when people go to a gambling casino, typically that's what they want to do. They're not necessarily there to eat or stop on the way to eat. They're there to gamble.
But if they win money, they often eat afterwards.
That could be true. So,
quantity.
The celebration.
Yes, it's the old
buffet.
Bottles of champagne.
2928513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we were talking about outdoor dining earlier, and it would seem to me some of the more established restaurants are almost at a disadvantage because they're landlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Some in the Short North and in German Village, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. They're fairly small, tend to be in the back area that's been reclaimed from some other use.
But you'd be amazed how creative people can be. One of my favorite patios that should be on the list is Bazzi Italia in the Short North or in the near Neil.
Victorian Village.
Actually, you know, people think it's so hard to find. Yeah. And it's in the alley. It's called Highland Alley.
Between Buttles and Hubbard.
Yes, but it's right behind Neil Avenue.
I mean, it is a tiny little street that it's down. But, if you ever get over there, that's a great patio. Really excellent atmosphere.
And this used to be Pizza Pete's. And before that, it was a little tiny grocery store called the Blue Parrot. And now I am showing my age.
She knows the provenance of every place in Victorian Village.
I just don't understand why people think it's so hard to find.
Yeah, it's not. Once you find it, it's
well, you live
easy
in the neighborhood. You live a block away, Marilyn.
The One of the things we wanted to talk about, because it's getting to be harvest time almost, as we talked about some of the tomatoes and stuff that are coming out of the garden, we'd like to give a nod to those local grocers who sell local produce, Huffman's, Rife's, Steve's got a list here, Weiland's, Hill's, Whole Food, and Fresh Market.
And it's amazing that these places have been able to stay in business. Rife's, for example, on Fifth Avenue is right across from a Giant Eagle down there.
But they are, yeah. That's where you go for locally. You know, the burger is ground there. You can see it being ground. They always have the local, best local Hilliard sweet corns, tomatoes, and things like that. So I support your small grocers, Huffman's at Tremont Center, that bring in the local produce. And don't let them tell you that the ear of corn that's been shipped from California for the last 3 weeks, this special variety, is going to taste better than something that was picked this morning in Hilliard.
Exactly. We have great soil in Ohio. And, yeah.
A lot of corn.
Especially this time of year, it's especially important to patronize these places because, I mean, it is really literally picked this morning.
Yeah.
And, of course, Hill's and Huffman's and Weiland's are all like miniature grocery stores, as opposed to Rife's, where it's really pretty small.
Right,
so,
you know, Weiland's has a heck of a wine selection, actually.
And they've just expanded recently as well. And as you mentioned before, too, they've got a huge takeout section, and I believe they make everything there.
They do.
They've got smoked brisket every weekend and chickens.
I'm getting hungry.
Well,
it's almost 12.
It's almost lunchtime.
292-8513. And what about some advice, say, for the weekend? The kickoff to summer, well, I guess Memorial Day is that, but this is one of those, you know, traditional summer eating holidays.
Well, you know, it's the
cookouts.
It's the all-American cookout time. But if you don't feel like cooking, stop by City Barbecue.
Yep. Great stuff. Also maybe go to the North Market. And I love to go there on Saturday morning and forage. Maybe I'm feeling like sausages. Maybe I'm feeling like cheese.
I feel
and
a
wine.
Song coming up.
Yeah. And this, you know, the chicken place, North Market Poultry, yeah. And the fish guys. Oh, we had some wonderful walleye from there. And, you know, just pick something up to throw on the grill. A little local sweet corn.
Yeah, eat the walleye before the Asian
those peaches.
Carp do.
I hope those peaches don't sell out at from Rhodes
Are
Farm
you guys
Market
seeing
before I get there.
An
grill
increase
those.
In fish because of the Gulf spill and shrimp and other fish that comes from down there?
The cost of it? I haven't done any.
No.
It's still about the same right now, at least for what I've seen. But, you know, it's coming.
It may be from other places like Chile.
Yeah. So
the West Coast.
I was down on the Gulf just 2 weeks ago and enjoyed some great oysters, and and it's sad that it could be the last time. Let's hope they get on this.
Yeah.
Cap it.
292-8513. And from Mike on Facebook, Cafe, I'm going to butcher this, Ephesus, perhaps, in Dublin. It's an excellent.
Ephesus.
Well, thank goodness you're here. It's a wonderful Turkish fare, he says. Mm. So you're both familiar with it.
Yeah, no, it's a great place. I love Turkish food. It's not
We used to have five Turkish places.
Right.
And they sort of, we had Istanbul Cafe. The
That's
Turkish
still around.
Sage,
Istanbul,
Sage,
Cafe Istanbul is still around.
Anatolia, where Sage is, there used to be a Turkish place. And they sort of went away. Cafe Shish Kebab, bad name, good place on Bethel Road, but the lovely grill, more grilled meats than you'd find in other.
Exactly, yeah. Well-seasoned, good stuff.
We're going to do this again next week. Any parting words? We've got about 45 seconds.
Next month.
I'm sorry.
Have a good weekend. Happy 4th, everyone. And, it's all-American to go out and eat.
Enjoy your local food.
And we have to all be on the lookout for Edible Columbus, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Grilled charcoal.
Steve, could you hold that up again?
Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn.
I don't know if I
Thanks,
can thank
Marilyn.
You again. Steve Stover, who writes for City Scene Magazine, along with Rich Terapek and his son, who do restaurant reviews right here for WOSU. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus. Streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR. News from NPR is coming up next. It's 12 o'clock.